science, learning, business, community. You. Welcome to Think Works, the podcast for people who like to think. Because thinking is the hardest work there is. Come with us on a journey into the world of ideas with your host, Darren Smithson.
Hello and welcome to another episode of ThinkWorks, the place where we do all the heavy lifting when it comes to thinking. And this week we've got the third part of our look at conspiracy theories. And in the studio with me once again, we've got the professor himself, Mr. Stephen Lowe. Hi.
Hi, Darren. Hello, everyone.
And we're both recovering from our man flu, which is
real.
Yeah, it's not been an easy 3 weeks, has it?
4 weeks in.
Yeah. Oh, shocking. Anyway, so we, in the first part, regular listeners will remember that we talked about the need for conspiracy theories, why the psychology of human beings actually makes them so popular, and the cost of some of those conspiracy theories and formats. And then last week, or a couple of weeks ago, we talked about some specific conspiracy theories, including did man land on the moon? So this week, what we're going to do is it's going to be a quick, short one this week, because we're saving ourselves up for the big event next time,
which is
the Illuminati and the lizard people and the hollow moon. But this week, we're going to talk about COVID and we're going to talk about Area 51. So let's start with COVID and we'll get that one out of the way first, because it's a very simple, very easy set of conspiracies to think about.
But I think, before we go into the conspiracies, I think we need to understand a little bit of background about COVID, because until the pandemic hit, people have probably never heard of coronavirus. But in reality, it is a form of the common cold, common flu.
Yeah.
And it's been around there for many, many years. I think, from memory, mid-70s is when it was first discovered. And plus, it's also been found in animals and livestock.
Yeah,
for many, many years. And there's been vaccinations as well for that livestock being around as well. So when people say COVID, oh, it's this new pandemic, it's this new virus, it's not. It's been around for a long, long time. And I think also the first, which was called SARS, wasn't it?
I think
back in the early 2000s. That was the first COVID, which is why we now got COVID too.
Oh, there's so many different competing theories about how it started, or even if it's even real. I mean, that's the one that gets me. But let's go back. Let's go right back to what are the theories about how it started. The most common one being, by conspiracy theories, of course, who believe it is real, is that it was created in a lab and it escaped.
Correct, yeah. But you know, I think Trump said this back in 2019, without any evidence, as usual, the Trump way. It must have been from a lab in Wuhan, in China, because that's where the concentration of a lot of the...
And we know there's a lab.
And we know there's a lab there,
But
the thing is, there's a lot of scientists looked into this, and the theory is that it came originally from bats.
Yeah.
Because bats do carry coronavirus. Coronavirus. And it was also transmitted to, of all creatures, anteaters. Now, there is a news article. There were six miners in China and caught this disease. At the time, they didn't know what it was. Two of them died.
Yeah.
And when they investigated, they realized it was coronavirus.
Yeah.
This is going back many years. And where they were working in a cave, in a mine, with lots of bats.
Right.
So it made sense at the time that, it obviously come from bats. And also, anteaters are a delicacy over in Asia. They're also used for medicinal purposes as well. So. Yeah. Bats pass it on to anteaters.
Yeah, from the feces.
And then through feces and other things. Yeah. And then obviously people will eat that. So it seemed logical that it was a natural occurrence and didn't come from the lab.
So the people, it's kind of, you can understand why, because we talked about this in the last two episodes, where if there's a void, if there's a lack of an ability to understand where something came from, we as a species tend to make up our own story, and so that's why it was man-made. It was designed to kill old people, whatever. Mm-hmm. So that's we know it actually had a natural basis.
And the fact Trump, said this, okay? Yeah. Whether you like him or not, he's a great influencer.
Yes.
So the conspiracy started straight away. So it definitely must have come from that lab. But there was a lot of scientists, the CIA got involved as well.
Yeah.
So no way it can come from there at all. But the problem is there'd be no independent investigation about it. And what I want to, I'm probably going to feed the actual conspiracy here, because I originally was like very sceptical about it. So eventually, through actually pressure throughout the international community, China agreed to have an independent investigation into it. And this was in 2020. Sorry. It took 2 years before the team could get together and go and actually investigate what happened in Wuhan. Now, you could argue that, well, that's 2 years for China to clean up its mess.
Yeah.
Okay. However, as recently as December this year, 2 years on, a report's now been published to the public, and every single agency was involved said most likely the outbreak came from the Wuhan lab and had been man-made.
So there is some full circle. Oh, that's quite amazing. I hadn't read that report. I must read that. But okay, so whether it was man-made or whether it was an adaptation of a natural one, we have the conspiracy theory then that says it was never real. COVID never happened. It was all done to us for a specific reason. And this is where we start to get into the realm of science fiction, I think, where the idea is that the vaccine wasn't really a vaccine. It was to inject microchips into us so that we can be tracked at all times by our governments, who then sell the data on to corporations to advertise to us. Now, as I can actually, looking at the way that our data is sold by governments to corporations, I mean, the MI5 collecting data, which is true, to give to the CIA, who then sold that to American corporations. Hang on, wait, what? Aye? So that's happened. So I can understand how people can see that. But what a massive undertaking to chip most of the population of the world.
It's not one country.
I know.
There's a lot of the thought about, well, Bill Gates was involved in this, obviously. I mean, for obviously Microsoft. How was he going to get every other government
to agree
to it? And I think where this came from, personally, is when I talked about that originally, the original SARS outbreak in the mid-2000s, there was lots of investigation into it. Bill Gates said, and he pumped a lot of money into this, he said, we are not prepared for the next pandemic. We need to start doing something now. And nobody did.
No.
He was trying to, but nobody did.
Yeah.
So when this kicked off, COVID came out in 2019, they all said, Bill Gates said this. He's been actually planning this for the last 20 years.
Yeah, so he can make a killing.
So he can make a killing.
Literally.
It's like, come on. Very forward planning. I know he's a very intelligent guy, but...
and the fact is that when you look at the cold light of day and you look at how many people died. I personally know two people that died of COVID. You know three.
I know three uncles. Yeah.
And,
same year.
Yeah. And yet people who are COVID deniers will tell us to our faces that they didn't die of COVID, that they were murdered. And you have to then think, hang on a minute, you know, literally these were fit, healthy people who developed all the symptoms that we have seen, were rushed into hospital and sadly didn't make it out. Mm. And it is, I think, just an insult to them.
It is. It is. And I'm not saying, I mean, you've got to think these people are very, very ill.
Yeah.
They may have died anyway, and maybe given a COVID injection may have accelerated that. You don't know how the body's going to react to those kind of things, yeah? But to think that COVID was actually killing people, that vaccination was killing people.
Yeah.
I mean, I've had every COVID jab going, and hopefully I'm all right. but I must have a sound mind in that. But it's the sceptics, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's that fear. My son has never had a COVID jab.
Right.
Because he was scared of what people had put out there and the news, the social media, wherever he'd read.
Yeah.
And he's still up to this day. Now, to be fair, he's had COVID twice.
Yeah.
And he's 28, he's fit, he does sport. He's fine.
Yeah.
But when you're 50, 60, 70 and older, and you've got something fundamentally wrong with your health, it's going to get you.
Yeah. It exasperates any inherent weakness you've got, especially if it's any kind of respiratory. Is there such a word?
Yeah. Breathing.
Breathing. If there's any kind of respiration issue. There we go. And I just think, if you look at it logically, folks, there's no way anyone on this earth could have engineered a global conspiracy just to make sure that we were tagged.
Exactly.
It's just not.
And how many billions of people have had the actual vaccines?
Yeah.
And are we controlled? And people say, well, no, you don't know you're being controlled.
Yeah.
That's true.
Well, let me put it this way. I've cut all my Amazon subscriptions based on some tricks that they pulled. And I think if the American corporations were behind this, I think that's one thing that wouldn't have been allowed for me to do.
Correct.
If I was being controlled. So you've got to look at it and just... I understand why people are fearful. I understand why people have got a fear of these vaccinations that didn't appear to be fully tested. The fact is that they went through it a completely different way than the normal process.
But why pick COVID as the actual vehicle for people to be controlled? There are billions of people every year of the normal flu jab.
Yeah.
I've had them for 20 years.
Yeah.
Asthmatic, yeah?
Yeah.
Is that controlling people as well?
Yeah. The other jabs that we've had, the other vaccinations and inoculations that we've had, right from being school children, I remember getting my, you know, lump of sugar and a jab in the arm.
But that's what I'm saying, but why does that mean? What about people who actually have to have blood?
Yeah.
You could say, how far do you go into this conspiracy that every time we have somebody injects us with something, they're controlling us?
Yeah. I'll tell you what, the X-Files didn't help on this either, because they had an episode where it turned out that we were being chipped, not through the COVID jab, but the idea was we were being chipped ready for when the Greys arrived to take over the Earth, so that they would know which people were going to be used as good cattle stock, who were going to be used as good slave labour, and who was going to end up being pushed over the edge of a cliff because we were uncontrollable or whatever. And it feeds into that psyche of fear, which is all well and good, but sometimes, folks, you just need to actually look at things logically and dispassionately and cut out all the fear and then come to a conclusion.
There's diseases, viruses, and they've been around for generations, hundreds, thousands of years. Okay, we had Ebola, didn't we, back in the 90s and stuff like that. We've had, AIDS as well. And people got treated for that and survived.
Yeah.
But are they controlling them through that? Well, why pick this COVID thing? I think it's because, now we know, we think, it was man-made and it came out of a lab. Yeah. But do you not tell me that the Russians, Koreans, the British, the US, are not developing some kind of, you know, chemical warfare weapons? Of course they are.
They are, and a lot of it is done on in terms of research, in terms of saying, if this was developed as a biological weapon, can we develop a vaccine against it?
Yeah.
You know, we're not all nations are warmongering, but I think it's also true to say that there is this, I don't know what it is about the human psyche, that just literally the more that you are presented with cold hard facts about something that is happening that you don't agree with, the more you will then say it's a conspiracy. Mm-hmm. And you know, I've got some good friends on Facebook and they still put up anti-COVID posts about we're all sheep for getting one thing that you and I are not. And anyone who knows us will say this, we are not sheep.
No, to our detriment sometimes.
Yeah.
But the thing is, and if you look at these people who say, like, COVID's a conspiracy,
yeah.
I'll bet your bottom dollar they also think we didn't land on the moon.
Oh, yeah.
I'll bet the dollar they thought JFK was assassinated by the CIA. It's not that all of them are not conspiracies because I've got facts about them.
Yeah.
Right? This is a conspiracy. And it's like, come on. Yeah. You don't have a selective view. I just believe in that and I believe in this. If you're a conspiracy theorist, you believe them all.
And most of it, and this is the change, the sea change, I think, that happened more or less as social media became a common thing, is that it went from individuals who questioned official statements into communities who actually think that everything the government, everything the media tells us is a pack of lies.
But that's because we are quite a gullible race.
Yeah.
And we are, I'm generalising here, a lot of people are easily influenced. You can have somebody who's never done a day's work in their life,
right?
They may have appeared on a reality show, they may be an influencer on YouTube and Facebook, they may say something, say, oh God, yeah, COVID's a complete, honestly, it's a conspiracy, they're trying to control us. There'll be a million followers go, oh, it must be true.
Without so even and so said
about
it.
Because this is really not based, it needs to be fact-based, you need to do your research.
Yeah, indeed. Right, is there anything else we want to talk about COVID, or shall we move on to the main event for today's episode? I think so too. I feel like we should have some kind of X-Files music, but they probably would sue us for using it. Area 51. Now, what can we say about Area 51? If, for those of you who don't know what Area 51 is, it's reported to be a top-secret military base where secret weapons testing has been going on since the 1940s, but it's also the place where the Roswell spacecraft... and the aliens that were in it are being held. I think that's in a nutshell.
I think it's fair to say, though, Darren, as well, is that Area 51, it's been called loads of different things,
yeah,
does exist.
It does.
It is a military airbase.
Yeah.
Okay, in the Nevada Desert. Okay.
Yeah.
And as you say, it's been there since the 1940s. So it is there. The conspiracy around it is what goes on.
Yeah. And I'll tell you what, Area 51 is... actually one of the biggest conspiracies that the American government and military have ever conducted, but it's not the conspiracy that the general public thinks it is. Because in my belief about Area 51 is that the American government and the military, when there was a crash, something crashed, whether it was a weapon they were testing or whether it was a new aircraft or whatever, that crashed in 1947,
correct,
right?
Well, they say it was a weather balloon.
Yeah.
That's what the official statement is, a weather balloon crashed.
Yeah, yeah. But it wasn't the first official statement.
No.
The first official statement said they'd recovered something indestructible, saucer-shaped, from the Nevada desert. But that's by the by. So we'll just leave that. We'll just park that for the moment. And then it was corrected to the weather balloon 2 days later. I personally think what happened was the American government thought, ooh, there's all this kind of like fervor and all this attention on this base, and you know, let's actually create this whole mystery by not commenting, by actually holding back and letting people, because all the attention then will be there.
Correct.
While we can do our secret testing in other bases.
In fact, it became so important to the CIA and to the US government, they actually created a separate department just about the UFOs, and in particular relating to Roswell and Area 51.
Yeah.
Now, why would you do that?
Yeah.
You're either admitting that there's UFOs or you're trying to actually deflect from things.
Yeah, I think so. So let's go back to the way the conspiracy started. So basically, 1947, there's a crash or something went wrong, a little explosion, and the sheriff and some other teams get out there and the military literally follow and shut everything down. A statement is released saying that they've recovered some kind of craft from the area. And then 2 days later, the Pentagon step in and the four-star general sends out a message that basically says, no, it was a weather balloon. It was a new state-of-the-art satellite weather balloon that was going to be used for spying, which is why we've had to shut the story down. And then everyone went crazy because it was like suddenly in the last couple of years there'd been these so-called sightings of UFOs, flying saucers.
But there is an explanation for that one,
I
believe, is that back in the 50s, Area 51, the base itself, was building super drones, basically, super aircraft, spy aircraft, reconnaissance aircraft, whatever you call them, And this has been proven now with the documents that have come out much later. And there was a plane called the U-2, reconnaissance plane, I think, was the A-12, I think might be another one.
Rings a bell.
And these were proper aircraft.
Yeah.
They were actually unmanned. But these aircraft were flying at 70,000, 80,000 feet.
Yeah.
Now, commercial airlines then were flying at 20,000, and even military aircraft can only reach 40,000. They were also flying at super speeds of 2,000 miles an hour. Unheard of. So when these things are flying at that height and that speed, and obviously they're close to the sun, so things get reflected off them, very shiny, you can understand why people... Because at the end of the day, it was a UFO. It was an unidentified flying object that people just did not know what the hell it was.
Yeah.
You put that with the, what's happened at Roswell, put those two together, you can see why people start thinking, well, there's something dodgy going on there.
Yeah.
There are aliens, there are spacecraft.
Yeah, and it became a whole industry as well.
Yeah.
And for the, you know, for those little towns that are scattered around that area, it's their income, tourists and everything. So you can understand why they want to keep the myth going. But you don't have... And this is I had to point this. I had a group of students once, and they come in with some material that had been released about an alien had been filmed in Mexico. And I said, well, let's have a look at it in cold light day. And when I looked at it, the guy that reported it happened to be making a film that was coming out next year about aliens. I said, what's the link here? I said, you've got to look at this. And I think with Roswell, it suited the military to have all this fear and uncertainty and doubt. But you don't have a top secret base that's underground with signs up saying, you are about to enter Area 51, our top secret base, you will be met with ultimate force.
There's a danger of death, basically. Yeah,
but you don't actually say that there's a base there. If it's that top secret, you don't have the signs up. And again, it comes back to this idea, I think, that basically it just suits the powers that be to actually have that focus in that area. There might be a base in Alaska. There might be a base in California somewhere in the desert. The attention isn't on those bases, because everyone knows about Area 51.
And I think, I mean, whether this was planned or not, but there's a chap who worked there. I think his name is Robert Lazar, is that right?
Yeah, Lazar. Yeah, yeah.
And he claimed that he worked there. He did work there. He's proven he'd worked there. But he claimed he'd worked on an alien spacecraft. And his job was to try and use that technology and actually transpose that into the US military technology. And he also said that he'd heard things about there was an alien body there, but he was completely discredited later on because within his interviews he said he went to MIT. He never did go to MIT.
No.
He then said, well, sorry, I got confused. I went to California Institute of Technology. He never went there. Now, whether he was the fall guy or whether he was just to perpetuate what the CIA and the government to do, you don't know. Was he telling the truth and he was shut down, or was it just part of the story?
Part of the story, I think.
Yeah.
He had so many. I mean, his argument was, oh, no, all my records have been deleted by the CIA and because they want to discredit me. And again, that's such a great answer, isn't it? Oh, yes, there's no record of me being at MIT because it was deleted. And my military records of working for the CIA, they've all been deleted because obviously it's all hush-hush. It's such a great answer. I wish I could come up with an argument like that.
But is it that's where the conspiracy keeps that's why it perpetuates, isn't it? Because you know, he's saying these things, think, well, maybe he was telling the truth. Maybe he has all his records have been erased. You don't know.
And then there's the so called alien autopsy footage.
Yeah.
Right? I can't remember exactly when it was. I think it was in the '70s that this footage was released, supposedly filmed during 1950 when they were doing the autopsy on the aliens that they recovered from the crash in Roswell. And it's very grainy. It's filmed on the type of film stock that would have been used in that era, kind of, because the military, and this was a military base, remember, had already moved on to colour footage for filming anything at the time. So it wouldn't have been filmed in black and white. And what the key thing for me was, this thing that should have sent alarm bells ringing for any conspiracy theorist was, the guy that supposedly found this footage was the head of a London-based film production company who, of course, got lots of publicity out of this. His business got lots of business from it and everything. And there's all kinds of reasons why it's so clearly a fake. A, the military had already moved on to colour footage. Secondly, standard procedure for the military at any time when they were doing any kind of autopsy or examination of wreckage was to have a camera on a tripod, so it was static, and a down from the ceiling shot. Now, given that this was a military base, that facility would have been there. Mm-hmm. So those are the three things. Another thing is the so-called surgeons were holding the scalpels wrong. So it's just like, how much more do you need?
On aliens, though,
no, this is true. And you just think, why are we even giving this any credence? The fact that it was found by a guy who was apparently looking for footage on Elvis, as you do,
because obviously Elvis was abducted, didn't he? And he came back to
and he was looking for footage on Elvis, and the guy in this shop in New York or wherever it was said, oh, if you're interested in that kind of stuff, have I got some footage for you. It's like, but he never said where the shop was. He never said where, who had done the filming. Originally said it was this guy that worked on the base and he'd released the footage. And apparently, so he'd been working on this base. He was given the task of shooting the autopsy of something that was alien and also the wreckage. But he somehow managed to walk off the base with 100 minutes of footage.
And it was such a high security place. Yeah. You might be shot if you earned
it. Yeah. And on top of that, they said there were 100 minutes of footage, but only 20 minutes has ever been seen.
I mean, I don't believe that personally.
No.
But going back to what we talked about, the conspiracy theories, and Area 51 exists.
Yeah.
That's a fact, it does there. Super, super secret military stuff are going on.
Yeah.
And we don't know what they're really developing. Have they got aliens in there? I honestly don't think so.
No.
Okay. Are there some kind of UFO that have been man-made in there? Yes, I do think so.
Yeah.
And I think they're developing more. But it is a super secret place. I mean, do you remember the Skylab incident?
Yes.
I think 1970s. Obviously, a craft probe. It wasn't much man. It was actually a man, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It had a mission brief. And one of the briefs was, because you're going to be orbiting here, you cannot take photographs of this area, which was Area 51.
Yeah.
Inadvertently, in quotes, they took photographs of it. When they got back to Earth, they said, look, we've made a mistake here. We didn't realise we'd take these photographs here. These photographs were confiscated, as you'd expected to do.
Yeah.
Many, many years later, there was a report leaked, right? I think it was by a CIA, unknown CIA person.
Of course.
And this report talks about these photographs here. And it was a very highly redacted document. But between the lines, it was basically NASA and the CIA director at the time, which is William Colby,
yeah,
I think his name
bell.
Was, yeah, were actually saying what should be declassified and what should be classified.
Yeah.
And then NASA was saying, well, we should just let them out there.
Yeah.
And Colby was saying, no chance.
Yeah.
And that went, this is an argument between NASA on this document. To this day, those photographs have still not been released. And that report is still redacted. So it's just something, you know, something's going on, and we as humans think, well, it must be this, it must be that.
And it all feeds in. The very fact that there are reports of an argument between CIA and NASA all feeds into this mess that is Area 51 as a PR stunt. To me, it may well have started off as a secret base, and they may well have, because obviously the nuclear testing was in the Nevada desert,
correct.
And it may well have started off as that, a secret base. But someone went, do you know what? We could use this to our advantage.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, let's just create an atmosphere where, by giving implausible denials or by not saying anything, we'd leave a vacuum for other people to fill in the gaps, that we create this entire, not only national, but international focus on an area, on one base, while we've got 15 other bases doing the same kind of work.
Is that what I'm going to say? I said, so like you say, it's great, you know, we'll use Area 51, that's our little scapegoat. And yes, there are stuff going on there, but I'll bet you there are more secret and more dodgy places that the US government and other governments are doing things, but nobody's looking there because they've created this big Area 51, this big alien thing.
Yeah, I just think it's a great, example of how governments can create a misinformation campaign.
We talked earlier on COVID about the chips controlling it. If you want to control a population, this is a fantastic way to do it.
Yeah, absolutely. It's just, I just think it's absolutely brilliant. I mean, by coincidence, last night I watched a film called Hangar 18 from the 80s, and that had the whole idea of a crashed alien spaceship taken to a top secret military base, cover ups galore, and it was a typical 80s trash B movie, but it was very entertaining. But I thought, you've just literally picked up the plot from Roswell and made it into a film and set it in the 70s rather than whenever it was supposed to have happened. Next time, we're going to be talking about the Illuminati, and which is such a big subject.
Massive.
It's massive, and it dovetails into a couple of other things like the Hollow Moon and the reptilians.
Yeah.
And so we're going to talk about that in one episode, and we're going to try and get to the bottom of what's real and what isn't, and who's really in charge.
What is real is the Illuminati did and still do to this day exist.
Yeah.
It's what they are and what they do.
Yes, or what they did and what they do. Because I think they are. Anyway, we'll talk about all that next week. But I'm really looking forward to also explaining about the Hollow Moon Theory and the reptilians.
Reptilians I just really love. I'll go over my head. I'll have to look into that one.
It's absolutely brilliant. So we'll talk about that next time. In the meantime, we hope you've enjoyed this. As always, for the podcast, there will be a post that goes up in the forum, which is darreninform.com/thinkworksforum. There'll be a post for you to come and comment on about anything you've heard, about your own theories. And also remember what we are planning to do, not only just when we finish this series on conspiracies, we're also going to look at impossible mysteries from the past, like the Marie Celeste and the Bermuda Triangle,
JFK.
So we're gonna come back at some point and do those. So start to tell us what you'd like us to consider, because I think that would be good.
And by the way, if we've made any inaccuracies here, this is just our...
We're just having a chat.
It's just our take on it. It's what we've learned, what we've read, and what we've researched, and just things that fascinate us.
Yeah, I mean, we remember things differently. I mean, for example, in the Twin Towers attack, I had to edit a bit out because instead of saying the plane that crashed was 50,000 pounds heavier than the original plan said could hit the building, I said 50,000 tons. Yeah. 50,000 tons would have gone off the air. I don't know why I said tons, and luckily I caught it when I was doing the editing. So we just gas, chew the fat, and sometimes we might get a few bits and pieces wrong here and there because we're going it off our head. We don't have scripts, as you can probably tell, but we do love to have a good chin wag.
Yeah. And we hope you enjoy it.
Yeah. So take care, everyone, and we'll see you next week with the final part, the conspiracy theories one. And then we'll start planning what we're going to do in the Unsolved Mysteries. Oh, no, someone's already got that name.
We'll call it something else.
Yeah. All right, folks, take care.
Take care.
And remember, it's a crazy world out there. See you soon.
Like to find out more, or join in with the conversation, our forum has a corresponding post for you to comment in. Simply go to darreninform.com/thinkworksforum and join in the fun. Or you can join the Facebook page by searching for @DarrenInform for news, tips and other helpful strategies. The show was hosted by Darren Smithson, and the music is by Alexander Nakarada. You have been listening to ThinkWorks, the podcast for thinkers.